Hey there, Bet Blast podcast listeners. Before we jump into this week's episode, I wanted to let you know that DVM 360 is now accepting nominations for our fourth annual Veterinary Heroes Awards. We at DVM 360 appreciate all the hard work and dedication that veterinary professionals put into improving the lives of patients, and we are honored to recognize one person from each category: client service representative, credentialed veterinary technician, dentistry, dermatology, emergency medicine, feline medicine, general practitioner, internal medicine, practice manager, surgery, and veterinary paraprofessional. Keep in mind that these are peer-to-peer nominations, so you are encouraged to nominate any veterinary professional, no matter what your specialty is. Nominations end April 15th, so don't forget to nominate your veterinary superhero. Check out DVM360.com to learn more, and the link to nominate will be in today's show notes.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast. You happen to know the difference between sympathy and empathy? And you know, it's almost like we use them sometimes interchangeably. Maybe they're similar, but they're a little bit different. And I can't think of anyone better to explain it with my dear friend and our wonderful colleague, Dr. Ryan Engler. How are you, my friend?
Great. It's so lovely to be here. Good to see you, Adam.
Good to see you too, as always, too. Congratulations, by the way, your veterinary hero win, General Practitioner of the Year. Well deserved. So happy for you.
Thank you so much. I can't believe it. I'm still in disbelief. I'm waiting for you to call me up and say, whoops, we got the wrong Ryan.
Never. Well, to our listeners, a little bit about Dr. Engler. She is a graduate from Cornell University's College of Veterinary Medicine, and she practiced as an associate veterinarian in companion animal practice before transitioning into academia to advocate for companion animal primary care. She debuted as an instructor of the community practice service at Cornell University, and then she transitioned into several roles as founding faculty, most notably developing the communication and clinical skills curricula at Midwestern University and Kansas State University, respectively. Later on, Dr. Engler reprised her role of founding faculty when she joined the University of Arizona's College of Veterinary Medicine, and she currently serves as a dual appointment associate professor of practice and executive director of clinical and professional skills. Dr. Engler is passionate about practicing and advancing education for generalists by thinking outside of the box to develop course materials for the hands-on learner. She is a prolific textbook writer, just wait for it. When Dr. Engler is not teaching or advocating companion animal primary care, she trains in the art of ballroom dancing and competes nationally with her instructor, Lowell Fox. Shout out to you, Lowell. We love you. And you were a guest on DVM 360 Live, and you taught me how to ballroom dance, too.
That was my favorite moment in time, and we got to reprise that role. I got some new waltz routines for you, a rumba, a cha-cha. We're good.
I'm ready. Sign me up. Well, okay. So I love this discussion, too, Dr. Engler, because we haven't chatted about this on the show, and sympathy and empathy, they really are often used interchangeably when describing how we interact with and engage with others, but they're really not synonymous. So how would you define or maybe even differentiate sympathy from empathy?
Yeah, great question to lead off with. And you know, it's funny, it's something I've thought about for a long while because I'm a big card writer, not surprising. I love to write everything. And I go into Hallmark or any of those stores and you have that big sympathy section, right? And you're like, what do you do with that? You look at them and you read them and everything is, I'm sorry this and I'm sorry that. And it just made me get to thinking one day, what is our messaging? What do we mean by that? What do we think we mean by it? And how might we do better? And when I think about sympathy, I think about sympathy meaning feeling for something, feeling for someone. And our clients in vet practice really need something beyond that. They need empathy, which means feeling with, meaning we're sitting actually beside that other person. And I think that no one really said it better than this individual. I'm going to paraphrase it, but one of my favorite quotes that I use in class is from Rebecca O'Donnell. I don't really know her background, but to paraphrase what was said is that empathy is walking a mile in someone's shoes. Sympathy is saying, I'm sorry that their feet hurt. Mm. And that's powerful to me, right? And I think then through the card shops and all of the sympathy cards that we send when something happens tragically or we lose a person or a pet. And I realize we're meaning good by it. Our intent is there to help, but we want something deeper, right? We got to get below that surface level sympathy to empathy, which is really what we're trying to do when we're bridging connections.
I mean, that's what we do every day. I feel like in veterinary medicine, we do both of those. We walk, we feel their shoes and we walk in their shoes. And I think it's so important now more than ever. Why is it so important to you in this moment in time to highlight a need for empathy in the veterinary profession?
I think the veterinary profession is something I'm so incredibly proud of. Yet what saddens me is the hardships we face each day, every day. I think we all feel it. We go online, we read Not One More Vet. We see each other struggle at times in practices. We debate at conferences about colleagues, inter feuds between colleagues, practices, toxic culture, but also clients and the struggle to connect with them, the rise of the so-called difficult client, and just everybody feeling like they've reached that end point where if one more X happens, we feel like we might break or snap. And I think that now more than ever, we need that regard for each other, right? We need that understanding that we're doing the best we can. And that means our techs, our kennel attendants, our CSRs, our veterinarians, our clients, everyone in that vet team could really benefit from that embrace of empathy.
Yeah, well said. Absolutely well said. We really need it. We need to understand each other so well. I was talking to somebody on the podcast. This is like when I first started the show. And, you know, sometimes we have really tough days, you know, I mean, life happens. We really do. And she called them red dragon days, you know, so she would walk in and she would say, you know, listen, I'm having a red dragon day, meaning like I got some things that are going on. I'm going to be okay. But it's not about you in this hospital nor a team. So we don't have to contribute to this, like it's toxic. What is she doing? What's her problem? But what she noticed is the amount of empathy that people had for her during that day to say, I'm here for you if you want to talk. My door is open. And I think that to your point, what we're talking about, we need it more than ever. I think it's so crucial that we lead with empathy all the time, both, you know, behind the exam room door and in the exam room door, right?
Absolutely. I think just that modeling can be so powerful. And when we see that in someone else, and when we witness that being demonstrated for someone else, I think it really changes and reshapes our understanding, right? We're also time stressed and pinched for time. And that leads us down that route of making assumptions about one another. But if we can just kind of stop it right there and just breathe and be there for one another, it is life-changing, right? We don't have to fix the other person. And that's the beauty of empathy. It's not, we got to get a magic fix, a Band-Aid. We got to get our magic wand and make it better. It's that, I'm just going to sit with you through this, right? We don't even have to say anything. It's just being with one.
Right. Well, speaking of empathy, and to the listeners, I hope after you listen to this podcast, you go online and you see what we're about to talk about, because I think what Dr. Engler is doing is beautiful. And so you launched this beautiful new passion project, and tell the listeners a little bit about your new line of empathy cards and putting yourself in their paws.
Yeah, thank you so much, Adam. So it's a project I've been wanting to do for 3, 4, 5 years, my whole life. I just come up with these things, and it's something that I thought about when I was in private practice. But then especially now that I'm working with the students here at the University of Arizona, and really working them through 6 consecutive semesters of professional skills, I got to thinking, how could I give back what I'm teaching in the classroom? And so putting yourself in their paws was born. And it's a passion project that I share with my colleague, Teresa Graham-Brett. And what we've done is essentially reconfigured that line of sympathy cards that you see in Hallmark or other stores and created our own. And so we have this empathy line of cards. It's available online, www.intheirpaws.com. And when you go to that website, really what it does is it speaks to a new generation of cards for really anyone. So there are cat cards, there's dog cards, there's a horse card, there's a lizard card. We're getting our bird cards up and running, but there's a lot of nature cards as well. And so what you'll find is a change from the classic, I'm sorry your pet died, or I'm sorry for your loss, and more authentic phraseology to try to capture that empathy. And so what I love about it is I can see the connections that we in practice work so hard to build renewed. It's valuing the memory and honoring the memory of the one that passed.
I absolutely love it. I think it's so beautiful. And, you know, we all go through, I mean, I know they say 8 stages of grief, but we all have different levels of grief. And so the fact that you're revamping the way in which we perceive that and providing empathy in our cards, I think is monumental. Because let's face it, I mean, how many times have I written the same thing sometimes in the sympathy card? Because I just didn't know what to write. But having that jump off that you'll be providing in the card, I think it'll be so crucial. So that way us as veterinary professionals can be more intentional with what we write in those cards.
Absolutely. I think it really showcases the uniqueness of that bond. My favorite one was built around my own cat, Bailey. She was 18 when she died, October a year ago. And her card says, not just a cat, right? And I think that that captures what we are trying to showcase as a team, which is the individuality of that animal, that bond. The other thing that I'm trying to move away from and bridge the gap in vet medicine is inclusivity. And it's nothing against the Rainbow Bridge cards. They had a role and a place, and some people find great value in them. But what I found over the years was a number of my clients months, years later, would give me feedback that they appreciated the gesture of a card, but that belief in that degree of afterlife wasn't necessarily for them. And so it either created a divide or they didn't know how to share that with their children who were also grieving. And so we've really made a conscious effort, Teresa and I, to break down those potential walls and change that messaging so that it's not about afterlife or not afterlife. It's about that memory and honoring that individual who has left us.
Great. Absolutely wonderful. Okay. So you have that, as if to the listeners, she doesn't have enough going on. I mean, teaching at the vet school and doing her other passion projects with the cards. She she's writing multiple textbooks, by the way, which we're going to chat about this one. So, you know, how does your understanding of empathy tie in the launch of your new textbook, entitled Supporting Pet Owners Through Loss, A Veterinarian's Guide to Grief? Tell us about that.
Yeah, thank you so much. This book is I would say, my absolute favorite I've ever written. And it was the hardest that I'd ever written. It was a book that I contracted with 5M on probably 2 or 3 years ago. At the time, I pictured that it would be an important clinical textbook on grief and grieving, death and dying. I come from a family in which my mom is a hospice social worker. So I grew up with death and dying training. She has advanced certification in thanatology, right? The study of death. And so I pictured myself writing this clinical textbook. Well, fast forward to a year ago, and it was October 2022. I had just had 5 major knee surgeries in one day, unexpected. 4 days after surgery, Bailey needed to be put to sleep. She'd been navigating a lot of end of life issues, but it culminated in a grand mal seizure and her quality just wasn't there. And now here I am having to write this textbook. And so I took what was going to be strictly scientific, strictly clinical. It would have been good, but I don't want to say cold, but distant, right? The way that we're expected to do in medicine. And I ended up making a difficult choice for me, but the right one, which was to infuse her story throughout different chapters. And Bailey's story now lives inside of chapters 6 and 7. And it really changed the way I viewed it because it put personal in it, right? And it's not that I would have wanted her to pass away for that to happen, but it really taught me what it was like to be on the other side of that exam room table for my heart cat, right? And really, how do we support our clients, which was me in this case, but how do we support the veterinary team too? Because we bridge both roles. We each have lost very significant individuals in our lives, and we have to put one foot on one side of the table and one on the other. And so really having empathy for ourselves, regard for ourselves, and understanding it's okay for us to grieve too. We grieve for our clients' pets' losses in different ways. It's not always acknowledged. It's its own kind of disenfranchised grief. And I would like to name that because it's okay to not be okay. And we as a profession need to embrace that.
It is okay to not be okay. There, I was, little story about me. I'm very close to my clients, shocker, as you can tell. I absolutely love them so much. And when I was practicing full time, I would have hard days like anybody else out there. And I always had a hard time hiding it when I had to deal with end of life care. It really hit me hard. I think I wear my heart on my sleeve. So I feel exactly that presence that was going on in the exam room. And what I love, and I hope the listeners really can take something away from this about how wonderful your clients are going to be your cheerleaders for you, is that they could see it on my face. They knew, or they heard through the next door or whatever. And they said, come here, sit down for a minute and hang out with me. And for them to just like embrace me, I was hugging with them. I even cried on them too, even when their daughter was coming in for a wellness checkup, because we all are going to be or have been there at some point. And I think that's the beauty of being a pet parent, whether you're a veterinarian or a technician or just a pet parent, we've all have been there. And so when we're talking about something like this, I think it's so nice to take a moment to say, listen, I'm not okay, but I'll get through today. But it's nice having somebody like a shoulder to lean on, showing that sympathy and empathy at the same time.
Absolutely. And I think that story really speaks to something that we say in orientation here at our college, but I carry it everywhere I go. Everyone's probably tired of hearing me say it, but the phraseology is that we're all teachers and learners in this environment. I don't know who invented it here. It was something that got said and then carried on, but it stuck with me. And that's what your story kind of highlights for me, Adam, that our clients and us fluctuate back and forth between experts in that room. And we may have the doctor name or the DVM after our name, but they are human just like we're human. And they help us as much as we help them, if not more so.
Right. And it doesn't mean we have to have this emotional wall up either. We are veterinarians, of course. We know when, to make right decisions for our pets, but at the end of the day, I've always said that to my clients is like, I'm human just like you out there. And, I think it's nice to show your emotions. And they even said that. That's why, they love me so much. The fact that that weighs so heavy. But I said, but this is helping that I can talk to you, because when I lay my head down at the pillow at night, yeah, maybe I'll cry, but not as much because I had you there,
So. Yeah, absolutely. The fact that you can just be honest, right, with them. And that alone shows connection, vulnerability, ability to, I've always said to my students, clients are okay if I don't have all the answers. I just have to know how to say that in a way that denotes, I don't know, and this is what we're going to do to find out. Let me help you. But no, I don't know everything, right? Yeah. Let's work together to solve this issue.
Exactly. Collaboration. Okay, so as we're wrapping up, what would you like to emphasize to the listeners out there with respect to grief and grieving, death and dying?
I think the most important takeaway, and hopefully the one thing that my students walk away from when they have our program here, but also other colleagues too, is that grief journeys are unique, right? There's no specific timeline. Grief is something that when I was in vet school, we didn't talk about. We really didn't even navigate it until we were faced with it in the clinical rotations. And then it was seen as a failure, right? Death was a failure. We couldn't save that one. And I think we need to reshape the view of how do we navigate the topic. We do it every day, but how do we actually accept and understand our clients are at different walks of life? Some will grieve 2 days, some will grieve 5 days, some will grieve for 10 days, then they seem fine, then a year later something happens. And I think what we all have to realize is that that calendar is unique to them and to that bond. And that grief can renew. So it's not just anniversaries of death, but we also have to think what those pets are to people as living links of things. And so, many times we experience this, a patient dies. It's not just the death of that patient. That patient might have been the last living link to a spouse, a partner, a brother, a sibling, someone in the family, a friend. And so grief promotes more grief in many ways. And so sometimes we don't know what to do with the reaction that our client has. We might think that's an overreaction. And the reality is we don't know the depth of what that bond was or what that animal meant. And so instead of putting that wall up, as we were talking about, being okay to sit with that, gain comfort with the discomfort rather, and say, tell me more about that, right? And just sit there and listen, right? And sometimes the stories that will then be shared really help us to understand in that moment why we're getting the reaction we are.
Really well said. Yeah. I can hang out with you all day, Dr. Engler.
I would. I should.
Right. Well, thank you so much for sharing all your expertise with us too, and all these wonderful projects and initiatives you have. It's just wonderful what you're doing for the profession.
Thank you so much. Thanks for your time and for letting me talk about something that I could talk about all day too.
I love it. And to the listeners, we're going to put everything in the show notes too on dvm360.com. So if you're looking for where you can find those cards as well as her textbook, we'll have all those links made available for you as well. So thank you so much for listening in, and we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.